Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now this week we have a lot of ground to cover as Pastor Reynolds will be asking you to just suppose a few things. So listen closely as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds.
Well, today we're living in a time of great wickedness. We're living in a time when it seems like that wickedness is more prominent than even righteousness. Why? Is it because there are so many wicked sinners, that is, lost people in this world today? Or is it because there are so many saved people who are not standing for the principles God clearly established in His own holy word, the Bible? Think with me just for a minute and see where you are. Do you read your Bible? Or do you read a lot of other books about the Bible? I've been in bookstores that are full of books about the Bible. And they have a few different versions of the Bible there. But listen, are you reading your Bible? Are you reading the Word of God? Especially, are you reading the King James Version of the Bible? Or do you just read a lot of other books about the Bible? Do you have daily devotions with the Bible? Or do you use one of those little devotional books? Which is best, the devotional book or the Bible? Listen with me to what God told Solomon in the days which he had just finished building the temple. The Bible says here in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place for myself, for an house of sacrifice." The Bible said in verse 13, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." And then in verse number 14 of 2 Chronicles 7, the Bible says this, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Notice what the book of 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14 states. Let me read this again. "If my people," God is saying this to His people, "if my people," not the majority perhaps, but God is saying this to His people. He's not saying this if you're in a position of power. He's not saying this if you're a leader. He's saying this that if you are the people of God, if you will just humble yourselves, and if you will pray to God, and you will seek His face, and you will turn from your wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven, and He will forgive our sin, and then He will heal our land. That's why I asked the question at the start of the message. Have you read your Bible, or do you just read one of those little devotion books? What do you do to find the Word of God? What do you do for yourself to seek out the will of God for your own personal life? Have you ever just prayed that God would open or close a door for you? You need to do that. God is very able. God is the one that can be the answer for you if you will just seek His face and His will. When was the last time that you earnestly pray to God that He and He alone would forgive and heal your sinfulness? Or do you pray at all? Do you just think that thinking is praying? I'm here speaking to God's people. If you are a child of God, do you pray? Do you earnestly ask God for your daily necessities? Or do you just live day by day without praying? Do you ask God to forgive you for you're part of the wickedness in this great country in which we live. God is well able to forgive us of our sins. Notice in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, this verse begins with the word if. This is putting the responsibility directly where it belongs. It belongs with us to seek the face of God. It belongs to us to call upon the name of the Lord. This verse declares it's our responsibility to pray and to seek the face of the Lord God. And it is our responsibility to turn from our wickedness. It is our responsibility to do all of these things. And then God will hear from heaven. And then He will forgive our sins. And then He will heal our land. I must say that if we do not call upon the name of the Lord, He will never heal our land. He will never supply anything for you. But if you, as an individual person, if you will just call out to God, He will do things that you will be astounded at. Because God is God. And God can work all kinds of things for you. God is well capable of forgiving all of our sins if we will only confess our sins to Him. But God wants us to confess our sins to Him and Him alone. I know today that people say, well, you need to tell somebody about your sins. No, you don't either. You need to tell God. That's the most important one you can ever tell is God. Because God knows and God understands. People that you tell may not understand, but God does understand. And He does know. And you can talk to God alone, who is more powerful, who is more able to control the destiny of our lives and the lives of those we love. It is God. God is much more powerful than Satan and all of His followers. If we as believers in Christ would simply do what the Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If we would call upon the name of the Lord. If we would humble ourselves. If we would simply pray to the Lord. And seek His face. And turn from our wicked ways. God will certainly hear from heaven. God is much more powerful than Satan and all of his followers. Indeed, God can even block them from hurting us. When we stand and tell the truth God's way, God can do that. If we as believers would simply call upon the name of the Lord and we would confess that we have sinned before Him, He would forgive us and God will cleanse our land. Read with me in the book of Daniel, chapter number 6 and verse 10. Daniel 6 and verse 10, at this place, we find here that Daniel is ahead of the Medes. The Medes have taken over the Babylonian kingdom. So Daniel at this point is an older gentleman. I would say that Daniel at this point is about 80 or 85 years old. But he is very firm in standing for God. And he is a high governmental official. There's been a law passed. And Darius, the king, has signed the law into effect. The law states that if any man would ask anything of any god or man for 30 days, except he'd asked King Darius, that he would be delivered into the den of lions. Now read with me in the book of Daniel 6 and verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Notice that Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he did not hide his allegiance to an almighty God, even though it was against the law for him to do so. Daniel still prayed 3 times a day, just like he did before. Well, what happened? He didn't close his windows, did he? He left those open. He was doing just exactly like he did before, even after Darius, the king, whom he loved, and Darius loved him, even after he knew the writing was signed. Daniel was caught. Daniel was put into the lion's den. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. This was done, even though the king could not stand it. He knew those 3 presidents had done him dirty. He knew that they had tricked him. The Bible states in verse 18, that the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king was restless that night. The Bible said in verse 19, the king rose up early in the morning and went in haste. He went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I really don't know at this point what Darius expected to hear, but I know that he said those words, crying unto Daniel with a lamentable voice and full of anguish and sorrow. But I know that Daniel heard him, because the Bible says in verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. These words Darius heard. I don't know the situation exactly, but I would imagine that Darius was much surprised when he heard Daniel speak. And he knew it was Daniel because he had talked with Daniel before. He knew it wasn't a fake. He knew it wasn't a put on. And he heard the next words of Daniel, because in verse 22, Daniel says, my God has sent his angel, just one angel, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And the king was exceedingly glad for him. I just read this story so you to understand that God in heaven is real, that God in heaven understands the situation that we're in. And whether you are a little person in a little situation, or you're a large individual, whether you have control over many people, God knows that. But God wants you to call upon him. And God wants you to be faithful to him, regardless of what happens, regardless of what is said, regardless of the situation that you find yourself in. God wants you to be faithful unto him. Listen to what the book of Hosea 4 and verse number 6 says. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. A terrible thing it is when we think about our children. We love our children, right? We want our children to be right. But our children look to us with great admiration. God has put this into children, that they would admire their parents, that the children would always think that their parents are always right. And we know as parents that we're not always right. And we need God to touch us so that our children would see us calling unto God, wanting to be right before Almighty God. That our children would also, when they grow up, they would see the same thing, that they would understand that their power is not from their person, it's not from their status, but their power is from God. God gives that. God gives stability, and God gives strength, and God gives honor. That's what we want. We want that for our children. But listen, we must, as adults, we must be what God wants us to be. Look at it again in Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When was the last time that you searched the Scriptures to understand what it said? The Bible says you need to do that. You just need to look in the Word of God and get God's viewpoint on things. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. And then, the Bible states in Hosea 4 and verse number 6, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You think of this, what a terrible situation that we would be in if there was no God to answer our prayers. Think of how much anguish we could have if there was no God at all. And many people live under the assumption that there is no God. But there is a God. There's the God of holiness. There's the God of righteousness. And there's the God of great wrath as well. But it's all the same God. And He's there. And He loves us. I'm glad that He loves us. But what would it be like if every saved person simply did as Ephesians 6 and verse 13 states? What would it be like? I think we need to read Ephesians 6 and verse 13. The Bible said here, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What if every child of God armed himself with the armor of God? What if every child of God understood that there were nothing but a child, that they needed leadership, that they needed God to direct their lives, to direct their path? And we put on the whole armor of God, not just a piece of it, but we put it all on, and we trusted God for everything. We didn't take anything upon ourselves, but we trusted God and Him alone. Just suppose that all of God's children began to read their Bibles. And just suppose that all of God's children began to have their eyes opened to see the terrible wickedness of this world, the way God sees it, not the way we see it, and not the way it's proclaimed on the news. Rather, that we might see it the way that God sees it. I think that this would necessitate some changes on our part. We would be forced to turn off the TV and the entertainment that it so vilely entertains us with. I think we'd turn off our cell phones. We'd stop looking at pornography. We'd stop making the emails an important part of our life. If we just get alone with God, if we just slow down enough to be still and know that God is God. Psalm 46 and verse 10 states, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I think today that the devil has given to us a lot of things to keep us busy so that we won't know who God is. So that we'll take our minds off of the important things of this world that would be involved in many, many, many things. But just suppose that all of God's children began to see the reason why this world accepts so much sin and wickedness as normal lifestyles. Just suppose that the average Christian saw it wasn't the government's fault, that it wasn't the school's fault. The problem is not a shortage of laws. It's not a shortage of rules and regulations. In short, just suppose that the average, the little, the insignificant Christian saw that it was not somebody else's fault. Suppose that the average, insignificant, saved person saw that it was their fault because they have disregarded the Word of God, because they have come to believe that they're just a little bitty cog in a great big wheel, that it doesn't make much difference what they do. Listen, it makes a world of difference. Just suppose that all of God's children began to see that they could really make a difference in the operation of this world, in this nation, in their own personal community, and their own families, if they would just open their hearts and their minds and their attitudes to whatever God wanted them to think about. What if the average believer simply trusted God instead of relying on everything else? Just suppose that all of God's children began to earnestly pray to their Heavenly Father at least 3 times a day, just like Daniel did. Daniel was a very profitable man in God's sight, and he prayed 3 times a day, even when trouble came, and God delivered him. Just suppose that this attitude spread over all of our land, over all of this United States of America. Just suppose that it spread all over this entire world until every child of God was on their knees in agony, not because of somebody else's sins, not because of something else that's happening in this world, but rather because of their own personal sins. I think it would make a lot of difference. Just suppose that hundreds of brave people in authority in local school boards, local judges, local prosecutors, and others, each in their own area of authority, were heartbroken over injustices they see in the system, and realizing they've already tried it the other way. That's the devil's way. That's the world's way. And the result is a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah of immorality and senseless violence. And then they began to pray that God would forgive them. You see, this is what it's all about. In the book of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, the Bible said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This is what it's all about. We might think this very easy, to stand for right when everybody understands and everybody else is also standing up for right. But that's not what Daniel did. And God protected Daniel throughout all of his life, even when Daniel was a young man and he determined that it was wrong to eat the king's meat. God protected Daniel in that little thing. And God protected him when he was 80 or 85 years old, in his old age. God protected him all the days of his life. You see that? God can also protect you. It is vitally important that we understand that when we stand for right, God is always on our side. Why? Because we are on God's side. You see? It is not that we are standing anywhere that God does not know about, but God is for us because we or for him. Just suppose that all over this great nation, Christians that are called by the name of Christ started acting like Christ. Not just in name, rather in thought, in deed, in action. Can you imagine what would happen if the people who say they belong to Christ, that say that they're Christians, if these people began to read their Bible, they began to meditate on the Word of God and pray earnestly to God that He would bless His nation once again? Can you imagine all the prayers of sweet incense going up to God? If everybody simply prayed it once, the heaven would be covered with his prayers. And God would hear them all. And God would answer every prayer, because that's the way God is. Just suppose that every God-fearing, saved person participated peacefully, non-violently, but firmly and continually. You think about the way that our nation is today, that if you make a timeline or a graph, you would see the increase in public school violence, the pregnancy rate, the foul language, all started at exactly the same time the Supreme Court threw out prayer and Bible reading from schools. Check it out and see for yourself. We told God we didn't need Him, and the results speak for themselves. Listen, we need the Lord. God is just as real today as He ever was. But at this time, God is hiding. Why? Because we have hidden our own eyes. We've hidden our own ears. We've hidden our own actions from the Lord. We think that God doesn't see. But God does see. You are responsible to God for all of your sin. There is coming a day when God will judge this entire world for all of the sin, for all of the wickedness. Nobody will get away with anything, because God sees all. God knows all. You can't twist the facts around enough to know that. Once upon a time, local churches were the moral conscience and spiritual lighthouse of the nation. Now, most congregations are impotent, minor league social welfare agencies, or mutual comfort societies with no real impact on the world around their little enclave. Today, you may not know what the future holds. I certainly don't. But I know who holds the future. And that makes all the difference with me. Listen, let me say that again. Today, you may not know what the future holds, and I certainly don't. I'm not a fortune teller at all. I can't do that. But I know who holds the future. I know that our future is held in the hands of God. And God wants us, as believers in Christ, to confess our sins before Him. And God wants us, as believers in Christ, to be right before Him. One of these days, we'll all die. We're going into eternity, where God is. Are you ready? Be ready. I pray for you every day that God would bless you to be faithful unto Him.
You know, wow, messages like this really start to tear down all those excuses that we use to not do the work the Lord has placed in front of us. May each and every one of us step up and really follow the Lord. May we not always just wait for someone else to spread the gospel message, but instead do it ourselves. And may we each truly seek the work that the Lord has for us to do. And as we come down to the close of the message this morning, we do want to invite you to attend services with us. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Of course, we'll start meeting this morning at 10. And we also want to remind you of our revival services the week of July 24th. Now, we do want to thank you for listening, and be sure and tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.